Praise the Lord. This is a different kind of meeting. There are different kinds of meeting in the Bible. We have church meetings where we just come together and then we receive edification. Someone needs a miracle. Someone needs a healing. People are taught to grow spiritually. We have prayer meetings where we make supplications to God. You see that in Acts 4. In Acts 5, also in Acts 12. You see that. We have evangelistic meetings where we reach out to the lost. Acts of the Apostles chapter 8. You see that. Acts 2. But then, we have the ministers' meeting. In the ministers' meetings, everything is happening at the same time. In Acts 13, they heard God. That was the ministers' meeting. They were empowered by, and they were sent on a mission. That's a different kind of meeting. What were they doing in that meeting? They were waiting on God. Acts 13 says, as they began to fast and pray and ministered to the Lord, the Holy Spirit said. It's because now you come into the conference, into the venue, ready to bear other people's troubles, ready to bear other people's burdens. So that's a different kind of meeting. But this is not a regular church meeting. And I must say this, I'm going to address it later. I'm disappointed when I hear people say, "World Changers Conference, prayer, you pray for long." Wow. What about the effect of the prayer on your life? And the lives of others? What about attitude? This is a minister's conference. And the things we do here must be different. Because it's a different kind of meeting. If you get to an evangelistic meeting and you're speaking in tongues and interpreting, something is wrong with you. Speaking in tongues is good. Interpreting is good. But not to unbelievers. That's if you're speaking in tongues, sorry, not interpreting. That's not for them. So this is a different kind of meeting. Here, we wait on the Holy Spirit. Without Him, we are nobodies. Some songs come back to me, you know, when I think today how you have learned so much but known the Holy Spirit. Years ago we had this song we used to sing, very precious. Now we have the Word of God, we know so much, we know the Word. But the song doesn't leave. Come, Holy Spirit, I need you. Sweet Spirit, I pray. Come, in your strength and your power. Come, in your most special way. Hallelujah. Sit down. 2 Chronicles chapter 12. Pay attention. Listen. The most important thing you will do to your life at this conference is to listen. Tell your neighbors to listen. this period is a critical period in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm so glad to be alive now. It's a critical period. Every day marks a day closer to the end of all things. And I'm always surprised when people believe the end of all things is gloom and doom. But it's not so in the Word, at least not for the church. There are times you hear people talk about the Antichrist and you wonder why they are so scared of the Antichrist. When the Scripture makes it clear that greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. The Word tells you clearly that you have overcome them. That is the spirit of the Antichrist. Because greater is he that is in you. But you see, when people are confused and they no longer flow and follow the Holy Spirit, they begin to preach those. Now, if you come here now, begin to tell us how bad things are and how bad things will get. Especially people's ears are usually tuned to things like that. But it's not so in the world. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That is what my Bible tells me. Now I'm going to share something with us, you know, today. I was looking for the subject, the title until I was coming, I got a hold of the subject, an old title, and I love to go into old titles like that because they make a lot of meaning to me. 2 Chronicles chapter 12, there's a story in there that paints the story many of those in our generation particularly, and I refer to our generation, you understand what I'm saying. A number of us are fresh graduates or graduates of the last couple of years, and some of us are just undergraduates. So I am particularly ministering this to you because we're at a critical period where many young people are confused. And I want to say this, I'm saying it with all sense of humility. I'm a young man and I have fathers, I have those I respect and revere. But the truth of this is that many young people, particularly younger than myself, are confused. They actually cannot say clearly what ministry is. Many are confused. It's not difficult today to see somebody put at the back of his book. They will say, I am a pastor, I am a teacher. Then they begin to have things like coach. And they say, life coach. And they begin to say things like motivational speaker and success this and success that and all sorts of things. And I see, I don't mind people doing whatever they are pleased to do. My problem is what is being passed across to the younger generation. That's where the issue is. And I want to show you a story in the Bible, and I don't want to go into much of reading that story. I'll just give you a paraphrase and we'll look at the relevant sections. Portions in there. Rehoboam became a king, and for the first time, I want you to read verse 1, he established the kingdom. That's the first thing he did. He established the kingdom. So the kingdom is his. The second thing he does is that he strengthens himself. This is Israel now. The third thing which he did, which really was a consequence of the first two that we have just read, was that he forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel with him. In other words, people followed him to do it. That's why I pity people who believe in democracy in the church. The church is not led by democracy. The church is led by the Spirit of God. The nation followed a man who established his own kingdom, a man who strengthened himself. Are you about to see what he did in a moment? And then because they had transgressed against the Lord, war came and some things happened, and then the enemies came into the kingdom because it was his. And verse 9, and took away the shields of gold which Solomon had made. If you back up briefly, you will see that God gave specific instructions on how the temple should be built. God gave specific instructions, brother, sister, how the temple should be structured. God gave specific instructions on how or what should be in the temple. And for the sake of this, you see this man began ministry on his own. Began his set up ministry on his own. Or better still, he was elected into it. Because the majority followed him. It was the popular choice for that post. So the next thing was going to be consequential. It had to happen. That he began to now strengthen himself. Have you seen that before? Particularly on our campus, when somebody is elected and he's not anointed, and he begins to set up a structure to protect that weakness. He begins to hide the fact that truly he is not anointed. He begins to do things to show that he is insecure because he is not anointed. So he strengthens himself and forsook the law of the Lord. And that happens a lot to many people. There was a predecessor. And that predecessor was Solomon. Who got direct instructions from God on how the temple should be built. So for that sake, things were stolen. People, therefore, did not meet the temple the way it was. And I must tell you this, there are so many people that did not meet ministry in many circles the way ministry should be. And they are carrying on like that. And I'm telling you the danger now. It would have been good if they got in there and there was nothing in the temple. And rather than go to God and repent, rather than go to God and ask for fresh fire, rather than go to God and these people will say, Lord, give us revelation. You know what they did? Look at the next verse. Behold, Adam simply made shields of brass and committed them to the hands of the chief of the guard and kept the entrance of the king's house. Brass may look like gold. Brass may resemble gold. Brass may be close to gold. In fact, brass may shine like gold. But God said it's gold, not brass. The preaching may look like it. The sermon may sound like it. But brothers and sisters, if it is not gold, it is not God. If it is not gold, it is not God. And I want you to decide in this conference to settle for nothing but the will of God. I read a quote this morning from a fellow minister of the gospel, and I want to read it to you. I wrote it down specifically for this conference. Hope it's in this particular note. I think so. Like this. He said, mediocrity is the willingness to accept the ordinary because of the unwillingness to press for the extraordinary. Mediocrity is the willingness to accept the ordinary because of your unwillingness to press for the extraordinary. So sad that brass has been brought in as gold. Entertainment has been brought in to replace worship. Midweek service has been brought in to replace Bible study. Business service has been brought in to replace Sunday school. And the gifts of healings have been replaced with medical counseling, stress seminar. Somebody follow me in the house tonight. Are you listening to me? They are putting brass instead of gold. And the interesting part is that they look alike. If you were not there when Solomon's temple was put up, you may not know the difference. And in fact, if you don't have any witness, high witness of someone who was there when it used to happen, there's trouble for you. In case you don't know, somebody is in this room. His name is Shagbo Noyeka. He knows what it is. Mediocrity is to settle for the ordinary because of the unwillingness to press for the extraordinary. That is why somebody will run from a conference like this because it's going to involve prayers. Prof. Apostle Ayo Babalola, the man who brought the fire of the Spirit to Nigerian Christianity, was a man that gave us gold, Daniel. He did not give us brass. Was a man known for the with the power of prayer, heart. Felt commitment to prayer. Late Archbishop Benson Idahosa, when he brought what we call Pentecostalism today into Christianity, which some want to try to criticize, and that's their problem, brought in a firebrand evangelism that the late Archbishop won in Benin City. Was a man that was pushing carts. And he said, when he read in the word that Jesus raised the dead, he began to knock house to house and said, do you have a dead man here? I don't know whether you're following what I'm saying tonight. But we have had brass now for gold and they look alive. They seem to look alive. So that minister's conference, what are you learning? Somebody told me how they went for a minister's conference. And what they were teaching them was homiletics. How to put meat in your bag when you are going to preach. How to get invitations. How to write the letters for invitations. He said, not once did they lift up their voice in prayer to God. After that meeting, they began to ordain people into ministry. I'm not here to paint a gloomy picture to you. That's not the point. And let's just get on the run. That's not the point here. But you see, brass is not gold. Mediocrity is not the plan of God for ministry. Are you going to follow me here now? He began to replace brass for gold. He began to replace in-depth Bible study or going on the internet and picking materials. Began to replace praying in the Spirit to receive from God from just watching a man of God and regurgitating what he has said. He began to replace evangelism and soul winning with invitation and billboards and flyers, which are okay. Brass is good depending on where you use it. He began to replace being led of the Spirit of God and following the plan of God to 166 ways on how to find a marriage partner. First, follow what you like. Rehoboam began to replace going for a meeting to preach with the fire of the Spirit, going up the study with wearing a nice suit. Rehoboam began to replace things. Gradually, we now had a temple of brass, not a temple of gold. And many do not know the difference. They began to replace giving your life to the work of the ministry to putting down your money for somebody else to go. Ministry is still the same. The ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ has not changed for 2,000 years. I want to tell you this. Problems will change. The world, the system, the challenges we'll face will change. I mean, there are certain things happening today that did not happen in the time of, as it were, in the time of Paul. That innovations, technology has improved, certain things, people's mannerisms and wisdom and craftiness has changed. But let me tell you something, brothers and sisters, the solution is still the same. God did not give a solution for 50 years. He did not put a solution for 16 years. He did not give a solution for 1,000 years. He gave an eternal solution in the gospel of Christ. The solution will not change. Therefore, ministry remains the same. We have the same solution for changing situations. And I want to paint a picture from the Word to your minds today, because we are still going to pray. And because of this, we have had laxity. It's so interesting that you will even find some people who will be there in the days of Solomon. They have tasted certain things, they have seen certain things, and then they will now resort to brass. That is pitiful. It's sad enough today, the harvest is plenteous and laborers are few. But it's much more sad when the laborers now begin to deplete. I want to show you something, because the lack of understanding of this basic ingredient for ministry is why people often start and stop. They start and stop. Somebody asked me, he said, at what point can God call you to ministry? I said, at the point where you will listen to Him. You could be 10, you could be 12. You could be 13, you could be 16, you could be 19, you could be 20, you could be 25, you could be 60, you could be 80. It depends on when you yield to Him. If anybody at any point is beginning to despise you because of your age, that should not be your problem. Not at all. That's not your problem. So, what is ministry? That's it. That's where we all get it wrong. Our ministry is when I join a ministry, when I join that ministry, and I'm doing what they're doing. I pray in the name of Jesus that what is called the enduring anointing will be broken in your life. And you will not be under peer pressure, because we are just under peer pressure. My friends are doing it, let us do it together. So when their friends fall aside, they fall aside with them. And many times that happens a lot on campuses when people, they just join the fellowship and they're very, very active and they're doing what everybody is doing and all that. As a word man, they are quoting Greek and they're quoting Hebrew. What usually happens when they now graduate, because they were always under peer pressure,
each man will now return to his own tent.
That's why usually we are shocked. Ah, you! Because from the onset, he never understood or received ministry. But pastor, this fellow prophesied. This fellow used to teach and preach at the school of the word. Maybe I need to tell you that God has used a snail. God has used a whale. God has used even a donkey to speak. I choose not to be a signboard. A signboard does not move. It only shows you where to go. Please follow me now. And some people have a lot of start and stop because they never received ministry. They were called, they were taught, but they never received ministry. They were enjoying, they were enjoying the kind of ministry they were in, enjoying every fellowship meeting, enjoying every church service. They were, just getting excited and everything. Because until excitement, listen to me now, I want you to listen here. You see, when you are still so excited about ministry, it means you have not started. Ministry is not something you are excited about. It's not a cliche. It's not a group thing. Oh my God, we are. In every crowd, there is a face recognizable. Jesus said, God numbers the air on your head are numbered. That shows you that you are not just a face in the crowd. Who are you? And many a times that is under the, people are under the influence of their friends, under the influence of the kind of church they attend, and they never receive ministry. I know people have some concerns when they hear me preach. I say, Pastor, I want to follow you. I want to do this. And then I just begin to laugh. When I was younger, I would believe that is zeal. I believe that this guy is serious. When I was younger, when I'm more older than that, I'll just laugh at you. Because zeal is the ministry. I thought people say, well, you just go to the church, maybe where they're coming from. They used to preach that the anointing is the Holy Spirit in a bottle, and they will preach to them that when you hold a handkerchief and all that, that's the power of God and all that, depending on what they're preaching in that church. And then they go to another place and somebody says, no, the Holy Spirit is on the inside of you, and give them the doctrine of the word, see them from another perspective, and then enlightens them more, and then immediately they begin to go around. Ah, that one is nonsense. Ah, that's not the truth. Look at the original. Look at it. Look at the context and the post-text and the pre-text and the post-text and the cortex and the mark-text. At the end of the day, the guy believes that because he can, as we call it, hack another person, he can scold somebody, he has started ministry. Oh, because he has superior knowledge over others. So he starts and then he has to stop. Because it takes, there's a limit to how you can pull yourself through. Exodus chapter 3. That's where I want to begin tonight. I'm going to read verse 1. And Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God that is to Horeb. I'll give you a background of this story. Moses was a man from his birth. He had destiny. He was seen by faith as a beautiful child, and faith preserved him. But let me tell you something, that is not enough. Hebrews 11 tells us about Moses. Please turn there, let me read it for you. Hebrews 11 tells us that Moses, when he was born, verse 23, by faith was hid 3 months of his parents because he saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. That's the first level of this man's life. Because the calling of the Spirit of God is a predestinated desire of God. I tell people oftentimes God does not conduct interview for a man before he calls him to the ministry. God does not ask you to preach your first sermon so that you will see whether you can preach the gospel. No. So this was a man born, and by faith he was hidden because he was a beautiful child. And there are so many people like that. At that first instance, we discover destiny, we discover along the line. I know some people like that. When you were a child, you found yourself preaching at your Sunday school. That's a spark of it. And somehow along the line, you were very zealous. You led prayer meetings. You wanted to pray. You saw preachers. You wanted to be like them. That's a spark of it. That is not a desire given by the devil. So you wanted to serve God. You just wanted to serve God. So as you entered the secondary school, you were in the fellowship. Before you knew it, you were the secretary of the fellowship, the HOD of prayer, or whatever. You know, the spark of that call was on your life. As you moved into university, before you knew it again, you were made this one on the campus, maybe the sisters coordinator, and then from there you moved to a cell leader, and all that, and all that, and all that. Still relying on desire. A desire that was put there by God. And then something now happened, a break point. Along those lines, Moses had not gotten to that place of separation. He was still in Pharaoh's house. He still did not understand that the call of God is to be sent on a mission. So he was still frolicking until a point that the epistles interpret it like this. He now got to a point in his life, he did not know what it was. Right in his spirit, he began to be uncomfortable by faith, Hebrews 11 tells us, with the riches in Egypt. And many people get to that point of dissatisfaction. It is true that somehow along the line, they have been attending prayer meetings, they have been doing this and doing that, but there's a dissatisfaction. It doesn't mean you don't have money. It doesn't mean you don't have the right car. So he was dissatisfied all of a sudden. And the first thing he wanted to do, brother, was to identify with his kindred. So he saw an Egyptian and a Jew or an Hebrew fighting. He killed the Egyptian. Note that. And then he set the Jew free. Thank God for God's intervention. He would have continued in that light. He knew in himself that he was a deliverer. He knew he had destiny crying out. He saw it. He wanted to be at World Changers Conference. He wanted to be at the crusade. He wanted to be everywhere. He wanted to preach. He knew he wanted to teach. When he went for service here, he wanted to start a fellowship. So he knew it. So he began in his own strength. And he began by killing an Egyptian. The next day, or later on, he saw 2 Jews fight. And this time around, he just went in there to say, "You don't have to fight." And they said to him, "Do you think we don't know you? Don't kill us like you killed the Egyptian." And that will happen when you get to a break. And you have confused the calling of God with desire. Desire is from God, don't forget. You have confused ministry with desire. And Moses had to run from his desire. In the name of Jesus, I pray for you. That every desire of the flesh, the Spirit of God will cause you in this conference to run from it. He now ran. For 40 years, he was quiet. Somebody said this, I don't have a reason to doubt him. He said, one day, for every knowledge and pomposity of the Egyptians, the next 40 years was shut in. No ministry. No, he just kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law. Desire was not to start a church anymore. Desire was not to make a name. Desire was not to be, you know, you have people today pressing for position in church, and they are fighting. I've experienced it before. At a younger age in ministry, I had people almost come after my life because I was given a title. And they will say, just anything. Just anything about you. In fact, just anything about you. Did I? It got to that point. Every day, a man said, I have a reason to doubt you. The 80th year of his life, something now happened. Right where he was doing what he was doing, Moses turned there with me. Exodus chapter 3. The first level was destiny. The second level was now a separation to destiny. Let me tell you something. In case you don't know God, God does not share his glory. Doesn't share. God does not share his glory. Doesn't share it. He gives it to you, but it is all. And at that 80th year of your of his life, and watch this. Exodus chapter 3. And he got to the mountain of God, and the verse 2 says, and the angel of the Lord, you will never have heard of this until now, appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Now listen carefully to this. This was a man that ran away. If you read the preceding verses, God said, I want to send you. And he began to reel out excuses. Right from what name should I call you, to what should be the sign I will show, to what will I do to Pharaoh, and so on and so forth. He got to a point, he said, look, I can't speak well. This is a man that Stephen let us know, he was a man mighty in word and in deed, in the knowledge of the Egyptians. He was schooled because they were raising him to be the next Pharaoh. So it was not a stammerer, as some teach. When he said, I'm not eloquent, what he's saying is, I can't get there. I'm not a charismatic speaker. How can I face 2 million people? What will I tell them? How will I face Pharaoh? God said, I'll be with your mouth. I'll give you error. Every excuse. Because we find a man who started a fellowship and did not want to preach again. We find a man who was a head of intercessory ministry and did not even want to pray for 5 minutes anymore. We find a man who initially has started a writing ministry and he had a magazine. It was reading every month and he didn't even want to read his Bible again. We find a man who was eager to be at every conference, every meeting. Now we have to pray, begging, carrying, even backing to get to the conference. And many times we don't like that kind of thing. We say the guy has lost it and all that. And God is now speaking to Moses in this house. Moses was working tired. He didn't want to do it again. You know why? Because that was his own show. That was his show. It was his show. Maybe I need to tell you this. I tell people often, I didn't choose to do this. One, two, I didn't want to do it. I've gone into periods very, very early in life where I didn't even want to be identified with it. That's a break point. And here was someone who was eager to, I remember, they will say, let's go fast and pray. And they will have, I told you, we have three groups. And they say, the first group will pray for 2 days, second group 2 days, and last group 2 days. Then everybody will now pray on one day. I will join all the groups. Right from an early stage, I will go for one conference, go for another conference, when I started going for crusades. I was willing. But it got to a point, there was Moses, he did not even want to read his Bible. And usually people get to this point and they feel God never intended to use them. Interestingly, they will meet a wrong set of people who will say, oh, you know, have you met people like that? They will say, we used to do all those things when we were young. You know, when we were young. And you know, now, you know, that was youthful exuberance and all that. Hello, you know, now, you know. They said, what are you doing now? You were the head of our fellowship in those days. That was when we didn't have responsibilities. Now I'm married with grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren. I don't think right now I have time for things like that. I know that. Is at the desert. Because the first things he was doing, that desire was planted by God. But because he never received ministry, he put the flesh into it. So now he feels there was nothing at all. He felt it was only a film trick. You know, I was just doing it. And I've come to call out people in this place. You were not just doing it. You were not just doing it. Here was Moses. And he got to that point. And listen carefully now. In that bush, he now saw, follow me, that the fire was in the bush. The bush was not consumed. Moses saw that it is possible to burn for God and not burn out serving God. God was bringing ministry to Moses. And now the fire will burn and you will not be burnt. Now you will pray and you will not be a prey. Now you will preach and you will not be a castaway. Now you can do it. The bush was burning, but it was not consumed. And the Bible says, and this is what's going to happen to many of you here, that Moses turned. He turned to see the sight. How many of you want to turn in this conference? It is time to turn. If you had hard start and stop, 6 months off, 6 months on. It is time to turn and see where the bush will burn and it will not be consumed. You need to turn to see where ministry can be done for 80 years. You need to turn to see how to be on fire. 365 days a year, all life long. We have had enough of casualties. We have had enough of those who fell by the wayside because of brass. And he turned aside to see it. Some folks will not turn aside to see what is happening. They will rather go and tell others about it. I know a man of God. I have this friend. I know this person who has been serving God. Being used by God, she was a child. Oh, you read stories about a man like Kenneth Hagin, who was in the ministry for 70 years. You read stories about Lester Sumrall. You read stories about great, great, great apostles of God. And you are just excited about it and you refuse to turn to see how it became. Many are just good to give us history and biography. They are good enough to tell us sweet, sweet stories about others. And they have refused to turn to see why and how the bush is burning and is not burning. Are you ready to know? I think you are gone. Are you ready to know why the bush will burn and it is not consumed? Ministry is a lifelong thing. I don't know about you, I see this in 70 years. So I'm ready for a long distance run. Then I want to know why. A number of people don't bother asking why. They think naturally fire should consume. God is saying fire doesn't have to consume. Listen here now. And he turned aside. And God said, take off your shoes. And that's not just about taking your shoes in the scriptures, refer to your way of life. There are people here who need to take off their shoes. And stop going your way. Stop going the way you think it should be done. The truth of the matter is that today, many people have learned Agbari ministry. Pray. Just using gimmicks. Agbari. A young man in my secondary school, then we used to call him Eson Agbari. That boy from Form 1, first day. He was never in government college before then because government had no primary school. He learned how to swindle everybody. So we now called him Eson Agbari. I met him a couple of months back. He's now a big boy in the bank. I said, Eson Agbari. He laughed, you remember that because I named him. So this is an Agbari ministry. Let's do it like this. Let's do it like that. That the ministry. I've had occasion to speak to some folks. And I wonder, what are you doing here? And he said, turn aside to see. And God said, take off your shoes. Don't come there. But the place you stand on is holy ground. Ministry is a holy vocation. It's a sacred thing. It is something that is different from your profession and your career. It's not a profession. It's not a career. The ground you stand on is holy ground. I'm going to share with you briefly, and then tomorrow and the next days, why people lose steam after years. Things just burn out. Things just go. You don't look like a caricature of yourself. As people say, how did I get to this point? Me? I'm going to warn some of you about three things that I'm going to just say briefly here, and I'm going to explain it later. One of them is glory. Some people like glory. When you like glory, say bye-bye to the anointing of the Spirit of God. They like glory. They like to be on the pulpit. They like their name to be on the poster. They like to be given position. Glory. They turn aside to see why it is not being consumed. Listen carefully. All your intelligence and knowledge is nothing. We're going to see it now. And Moses found. There's a portion of scripture I want to read to you. Again, Zechariah chapter 4. Come back to Moses later. Zechariah chapter 4. I'll give you the story afterwards. Verse 5. The angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, knowest thou not what this be? And he said, no, my Lord. And he answered and spake in verse 6 unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, not by power. The word might and power deal with two things. One of them is intelligence. Not power and might as we see it in the Hebrew. One of them means intelligence. To devise something. The other one means effort. Because you think power and might should mean the same thing. The word might there means intelligence. To craft something. To plan. To devise something. To strategize. So it is not by strategy. Neither is it by effort. May you take your hands off effort and strategy after World Changers Conference 2009. God is saying to us, it is not by strategy, it is not by effort, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. So what do you think about this then? By the anointing, Jesus breaks the yoke. By the Holy Ghost and power, just as the prophets foretold. These are the days of the latter end, and God is moving in His power again. By the anointing Jesus breaks the He's not by might, He's not by power, by my Spirit. Say the is not by power, is not by might, by my Spirit, says the Lord. These mountains shall be removed. These mountains shall be removed. Oh, this mountain shall be removed. Not by strategies, by my Spirit, say the Lord. Listen now. What happened in Zechariah chapter 4? Next verse. Oh, great mountain, who art thou? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying grace, and grace unto it. Turn to Ezra chapter 5. I'll tell you what happened here. Three prophets happened to minister at the same time. The book of Ezra. The book of Ezra has the story here. Ezra chapter 5. Now, the temple had been destroyed. And then they wanted to rebuild the temple of the Lord. Zerubbabel was like the person who had the responsibility to build that temple, called it the house of the Lord. Now, turn with me to, get back to Zechariah chapter 4. Let me show you something. Zechariah chapter 4. So you understand where it's coming from. This is Zechariah speaking. Zechariah is the one speaking now. He says, this is the word of the Lord, verse 6, unto Zerubbabel. So the word was for Zerubbabel. It is not by might, it is not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Now, get back to Ezra now. So the word of the Lord was for who? Good. Was for Zerubbabel. Then the prophet, verse 1, Haggai the prophet, and Zechariah the son of Iddo prophesied unto the Jews that were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel unto them. And Zerubbabel rose up, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, who is the high priest, and began to build the house of the Lord, which is at Zerubbabel. And with them were the prophets of God. Doing what? Doing what? Doing what? Because the king had moved against them. It got to a point where they lost favor. In fact, if I read further down, you will see that Joshua, who was a chief, who was a priest of the people, could not advance their cause. Why? Because the Bible tells us that Satan began to accuse him. He brought in accusations. He brought in different, you know, maybe he had made mistakes, maybe he had done things that were wrong, and he brought accusations against him. And God sent his prophet to Zerubbabel. I said, tell him, it's not going to be by strategy. It's not going to be by experience. It's not going to be by might, but by my spirit. Because many times we are prone to be looking for the quick fix, the way out of it. It's not going to be by might. It's not going to be by power, but by the Spirit of God. It's not going to be by might. It's not going to be by effort. But by the Spirit of God. Why will the bush not be consumed? Why would I face the opposition and come unscathed just like Zerubbabel? Because ministry is the Holy Spirit. Ministry is not Bible school. Ministry is not knowledge of the word. Ministry is not the ministry you belong to. Ministry starts by the Holy Spirit. Ministry continues in the Holy Spirit. And ministry will always be ministry only in the Holy Spirit. That's why the word was sent to Zerubbabel. Before you begin to use your marketing skills, before you begin to use your toasting skills, before you begin to use your writing skills, before you begin to think that it's about how you appear, the way you appear, the way you be addressed, that it is not by might, it is not by power, that who art thou mounting before Zerubbabel, you'll become a plain. What can stand before you that will not become a plague? Nothing. What can come against you in ministry that will not become a plague? Nothing. But don't forget, in ministry. Let me take you to the New Testament, as we call it. Let me show you Jesus. The same pattern. I want you to listen very well. Without dispute, we know that Jesus was born miraculously, correct? In fact, an angel announced his birth in Luke chapter 1, verse 37. Mary received the word of God, and then she was conceived of the Holy Spirit. If you had read Isaiah 7:14, Isaiah 9:7, a prophecy was given concerning him. He was born by the virgin, but was born miraculously. The angels sang about it. The wise men came to acknowledge it. Even Herod went crazy about it. So his birth signaled destiny. Everything about his birth showed that he was called to do something. Let me see how you can follow what I'm saying here. Everything about his birth, the circumstance that surrounded up to the point of his father Joseph, earthly father now, who was adopted father, wanted to denounce and deny the woman and said, okay, let me just allow you to go because, Mary was a very young child, a young girl from Bible records. I think she was about 13. So, you're too young. How can you abuse your body like this? I'm sorry, I can't marry you. And the angel appeared and said, no, child, she's carrying of the Holy Spirit. She did not go out to mess herself up. She actually received the word of God. And so everything was miraculous to the point of the deliverance was taken to Egypt. Everything showed was miraculous. And even from that point, the Bible tells us, Luke chapter 2, I just read the first page to you, is birth showed destiny. The way he was born showed destiny, showed there was a calling upon his life. Now follow me to Luke chapter 2. May I tell you that Jesus did not start a church because of that. He knew about his miraculous conception. He knew how he was born. That did not prompt him to begin to write newsletters. Again, let's go on. So I know the problem I have, Pastor Wales, is knowledge. Some people figure, somebody was telling someone a few years back, he said, don't worry, let me go and speak on Oyinka a little bit. When I hear the word, when I get the hood of the word very well, then I'll go and I'll go and start up somewhere. So that kind of person, but that guy, the guy there was very hot now. That guy knew so much now. That guy, no, ministry is not academics. It's not the same thing. Follow me, please. Are you still in the house? Okay. Luke chapter 2. Jesus at age 12. The Bible tells us in verse 40, he grew and waxed what? Waxed what? Good. So he wasn't talking about physical strength. He waxed strong in spirit and was filled with what? And what else? The grace of God was upon him. In case you want to know what that did, he was able to do Bible tutorials. He went among the priests, and Jesus was able to speak the word. In fact, in verse 47, the Bible says the kind of things he was saying, the doctors of the law were astonished at his understanding and answer. Someone say, what man? Say it again, what man? Was quoting Greek at him. He had read materials. It will give you 60 scriptures. Number one, 66 ways to speak in tongues. Number one, open your mouth. Number two, close your teeth. And you'll say, open your mouth. And now, give you Psalm 46, Psalm 45. Hey! Man of God! No. You grew, waxing strong in the spirit, full of wisdom. But that's not destiny. Don't step out on your own. Don't do it by yourself. Jesus waited. He waited. Luke 2, he had understanding of scriptures. Knowledgeable. Luke 3 was now the point. He went to John to be baptized by water. And when he was baptized by water, with water, follow with me. Verse 21. When all the people were baptized, it came to pass, as Jesus was also being baptized and praying, heaven was open. Verse 22. And the Holy Spirit, descending in a bodily shape like a dove, abode on him. You read John's account. He said the Spirit of God descended on Jesus and remained on him, because God has spoken to John, whosoever the Holy Spirit stays on and remains on, that is the Messiah, that is the Son of God. But you will have asked the question, church, didn't he know all along that was his purpose? He knew. Didn't he know all along? Why didn't he go around doing things on his own? Why didn't he start, because he has the knowledge of the word, because he has listened to some tapes, because he has read some materials? Why did he begin to preach and teach around the place? Why did he try to build a platform for himself? Because ministry is the anointing of the Spirit. Jesus was a man. He waited until he was anointed. Ministry is not the knowledge of the scripture. Can I have it? Ministry is not knowledge of scriptures. Ministry is not experience. It's good to have experience. It will help you. It's good to have the knowledge of scriptures. Ministry is not the ability to criticize another person. In fact, that's a ministry on its own, but it's not of the Holy Spirit. Jesus waited for the anointing of the Spirit. He waited. Because until that, the bush will burn out. The bush will burn out. It will burn. It will burn out. He waited. Luke chapter 4, he told you what he was waiting for. Until this point, he was doing nothing. He knew the word, it was a blessing. Yes. At this point, Luke chapter 4, he entered the synagogue, being glorified of all, verse 15. He taught in the synagogue. And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, as his custom was. As he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, he stood up and he told you why and how he started. Can we read verse 18 together? One, two, go. And the Spirit of the Lord is anointed upon me, because, hold on now, the Spirit of the Lord is where? Did you say upon my pastor? Spirit of the Lord is with Israel. Spirit of the Lord is in the meeting? No. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Why? Because he has anointed. He said, because I want to preach. Because I want to heal the brokenhearted. I want to. No! He has anointed me. No. He has anointed me. No. Now, church, listen now. Listen now. Now, won't you look at me? Was he anointed when he was born? Was he anointed when he had so much understanding of the scriptures that the knowledge, the doctors of the law were amazed at the way he was divided in scripture? Was he anointed then? We have mistaken things like that for the anointing. There were so many casualties. He was anointed only when he was anointed. He was anointed only when he was anointed. He was anointed only when the Spirit of God came on him. Now let me turn to the apostles. You look, read the scriptures very well, you discover Jesus chose 12 people to be with him. They were his apostles. One of them was Peter, James, John, Matthew, and all them. Luke. Not Luke. They were all with him. 12 of them. And on many occasions, and listen carefully, and I'll give you this as a Bible study student, maybe you can look at it very well. Jesus began to send them on errands. Luke 10 and Matthew 10, he sent them to go and preach, to heal the sick. And he said, go only to the lordship of the house of Israel. Cleanse the lepers. Tell them that the kingdom of God is at hand. And the Bible tells us that he said to them, he gave them authority to go, which we call the power of attorney. Mark 8 tells us that he gave them the right to use his name. So they went everywhere using his name. That's why Luke chapter 10, they said, all the spirits were subject to you, to your name. They'll get to a place, they'll say, you know that this, and Peter tells us what they did. That they took the word that was published throughout, that's Acts of the Apostles chapter 10, verse 34, that's 38. Said what they went around saying in all Judea was how God anointed their pastor. Somebody follow me here. How God anointed their sender. So they went there, they were, we come in the name of Jesus who has been anointed of the Holy Ghost, be healed. So they were doing that for 3.5 years. So Jesus now was about to help them or to die to fulfill destiny for them. And he gave them an instruction. These were guys who had healed the sick, darling. They had healed the sick. Do you understand? We are apostles, they had preached too. And he said, wait in Jerusalem. Don't go out. Luke 24. He said, wait until. And that's the point. Many will not wait until. Wait until. You'll be endued with power from on high. And Peter the apostle in the four gospels is not the same Peter the apostle in the epistles, because the apostle in the epistles was when he ascended up on high and he now gave gifts unto men. Is somebody following me here? Oh, come on. Did you get that? That was a gift of the anointed one. Who had risen from the dead, he said, the Bible says, he descended to the lower parts of the earth. Then he ascended and now gave gifts unto men, and he gave apostles. And he said, wait. And many people don't take instructions. Wait in Jerusalem. Don't leave Jerusalem. Don't go for wedding. Don't try and go for somebody's birthday party. That's not the season when you ought to say, well, I have a project in Russia. I was telling somebody this, almost every watch in Jesus Christ 2005, it always happens that my company always has a big project at the time of the conference. That's what I told you last year. The same thing is happening now. The same thing. And usually the biggest job we'll do that year. In Jerusalem. Until, Luke 24, you be endued with power from on high. But there, don't go and do it on your own. Don't go and use the experience you had among the Jews. Don't go and use ESCO experience. Is somebody following me here? Don't go and use fellowship experience. Don't get involved with Agbari. Don't go and start to, you know, maybe I can try that. I've done it before. I've done it when I was young. I've done it when I was in primary school. I've done it when I was in secondary school. People say things like that. Said, wait in Jerusalem until In fact, after giving them that instruction, John put it differently. When Jesus breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit, people said, that was when they got born again. No, that can't be true. He was giving them an instruction to receive the Holy Spirit. John 20:22. Luke puts it like that. Mark does say, he said to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every nation. But do you know that Mark will tell you, and they went everywhere. But you and I know before they went, and that instruction, there was a waiting. Matthew 28 says, all authority in heaven and earth is given to me. Go, therefore, into all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them, making disciples of all nations, making them disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe the things I have told you, commanded you, Lord, within the age. Matthew did not have that instruction. However, John did add it, because John had said that he told them, when I go, don't bother, the Holy Spirit will come and he will abide in you forever. Luke put it like this in Acts of the Apostles chapter 8. For you shall receive the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8. Are you not a preacher of the gospel? You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit is come on you. Notice the difference. It didn't say you shall receive the Holy Spirit. It said you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit will come on you. Then you shall be witnesses of me. That is, until the Holy Spirit, there is no power. Until the power, there is no witness. You can go about and say, now, let me ask you a question, church. Look here. Did they need the Holy Spirit to tell everybody Jesus rose from the dead? In natural palace. They were there. They saw him. He showed them his fingers. They checked it. Master has risen. They saw it. They ate food with them. But that is not ministry. Knowing how to describe the word is not ministry. Knowing how to deliver Greek and Hebrew is not ministry. Knowing how to say things that others don't know and chance them as a local champion is not ministry. You shall receive. He asked them to. And many have gone to kill the Egyptians. So when their brethren say, no, you can't be sent to us. Whereas he was sent to them. They now go to Midian. Discouraged, affected. Started a fellowship, it did not grow for 10 years. Feel bad. I'm here to call you out of Midian. I'm here to call you into purpose. For you to understand what was missing. And wait in Jerusalem until you be endued from on high. We had to wait. May I tell you also of a man called Paul. Acts 9, he was called by Jesus clearly from 15 and 16. And Jesus told him what he was going to. Jesus told Ananias. Destiny. Say with me, destiny. And for several years, he waited. Do you know something? Let me tell you this, and listen carefully. You know, it was not when Paul got saved that he knew the Bible. Oh, come on, someone follow me. Are you gone? Are you with me? You know, it was not when he got saved that he knew the Bible. He knew, he said, he excelled like the Pharisees. He knew the law. He knew it. He would tell you history. So when he got saved, because of that appearance of Jesus that he had, you know what he did? He wanted to start to kill the Egyptians. Acts of the Apostles chapter 9. So he began to go from place to place, breathing persecution that was not necessary. Shouting, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He was now arguing, and he could argue because he was lettered. He was arguing. He was now trying to do things by his own mind. He would check this and send text to that person. Say, come for this program. Come for this meeting. He was doing it in his might and in his ability. Many people have substituted, listen to me, anointed teaching and preaching for academic teaching and preaching. Here was Saul. And as he began to do it, and it's going to cause problems, really, Bible says persecution arose against the church. Because he thought that ministry was to criticize. Ministry was to say, you are wrong! You are wrong! You are wrong! You are wrong! He was shouting about it, you are wrong! You are wrong! You are wrong! And trouble came for the church. All of a sudden, he was misquoting everything. He was misinterpreting everything. When he was listening to tapes, he was listening to tapes to know it. He was listening to tapes to preach it. So he was just listening to it, and he was trying to preach what somebody else preached under the anointing by the flesh. He was trying to duplicate. Sometimes some folks can get worse. He was trying to now preach his own version. Nobody like that. They take what somebody has thought, they would now want to repackage it because of glory. And they began to preach it. And Acts 9 tells us there was a lot of trouble for the churches. There was persecution. And immediately the apostles sensed what the problem was. This man was killing the Egyptians. And thank God for those who help us to discover destiny. They took him immediately and sent him back home. Go back to Tarsus. Just sit down there. Go and wait. Sent him. It's not about your past experience. I've done it before. I used to do it. When I was young, somebody was telling me one day, he said, I used to lay hands. He was telling me when he was in secondary school, he was laying hands. But now, you know, and all that. I said, that's not relevant. Why did he burn out? What was making you lay hands that made you stop? I said, well, sir, is there not supposed to be like that? I said, no. It's not in the word. The Bible says, be not slothful in business, fervent in spirit. That is anointing. Serving the Lord. Let no one deceive you. That ministry has to be seasons off and seasons on. You can, you know, things can go bad today for 6 years and they'll say, No. God is not teaching you anything. You are the one that has refused to listen. Paul was quiet for many years. He was a man of purpose. He was a man of destiny. He was a man called to the ministry. But he was a man that had not received the ministry. Much later, read Acts of the Apostles. We find where the man Barnabas went to seek for him and took him to Antioch. Thank God for Barnabas. He took him to Antioch. Chapter 12. Took him to Antioch. He got the right call. He went to the right place. He was in the right atmosphere. And Acts 13, turn there with me, church. I want you to read it. Took him there. There's something there I'm going to show you as this conference goes on. I pray God to give us our Barnabas and our soul. But there are some people, you are just walking with the wrong crowd. You are walking with the wrong crowd. The glory of God, people think that I have friends in ministry. I have a lot of friends. I didn't jump from the bush. I have a good background. I have a root. I have people that know me. Some people have known me for years. Some people have known me for 20 years. I have those who will tell you when I started praying. I have those who will tell you stories. I have those who fathered me and all that. But I keep very few friends. Because I know your friends can tell you where you will get to end up in life. I keep very few friends. Not that I'm not friendly. I'm very, very friendly. But you see, one thing I know, but listen to this. Paul said something. He said, do not be deceived. He said that. That means you can be deceived thinking it will not happen to you. He said, evil communication might corrupt good manners. He said, don't you see, because you have the tendency to think it won't happen to you. No matter who you are, no matter what you know, if you walk with the wrong crowd, you will end up wrong. I know people are here today. You are where you are today because of the wrong crowd. Evil communication, he says, corrupt good manners. Do you know what he says? That means, Leke, you will have been a good guy. On your own, you are a good guy. On your own, you want to serve God. On your own, you are sincere. For the wrong crowd. God said, when I called Abraham, I called him with people. Called him alone. Our friends. Great friends. Set him up. Acts 13. That was what led to Acts 13. Barnabas took him to the right conference where he will now wait. Are you with me now? He took him to the right conference. The Bible says there was in the church at Antioch certain prophets and teachers. Prophets and teachers. Why? Because at that point, that was people's opinion about them. And then, they fasted. I know how many of you are ready to fast at this conference. They fasted. I don't know whether we still fast in this church age, this age we are in, this dispensation. I don't know about you, but as a younger Christian, I fasted over 260 days in 1 year, waiting. Today, man will go and fast, say they are punishing him. Say they are punishing him. I don't believe, today we do fasting of coke. You take coke at 12 o'clock. I let the church where they do all night, and everybody, you break and you take tea. You are not serious. Executive anointing. You know, executive anointing. Corporate anointing. Hallelujah. Glory. Now, I don't have anything against this, but, you know, I'm just a very old timer. My partner was making fun of me one day in the office. He said, something in me doesn't just like using laptop to preach. It's not wrong. It's okay. I mean, it's modernization. But I just like, and Jesus opened and read where it was written. I just like to open. Something in me doesn't like things that are too easy. Yeah, Hagin was telling us, can get that material. The steps to growing in grace. And he said that when things are too light, is a sign of carnality and sin. When it's too easy, it's too simple. It's too simple. You know, it's just that, let me just, you know, and people will come to church, you know, no Bible, no written material. You say, chop, 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 chop. I remember when we were doing service in Saints Community, we now started to use a projector to put music. And some of our brethren, you know, brethren, they will have gone out to see some things. They say, Pastor, can we put scriptures? Now, when we put scriptures on the screen, why are people bringing Bible to church? And it will be impossible for me. I said, the way I quote scriptures, the computer will just stop and shut down. Bah. So I will come in the volume of the book. And then I'll just say, go! That drive will just go down. Go! Go! 1 Corinthians 4:4. You now put it down. Oh, that's it. That's great. Lovely. Guy doesn't have a Bible. So when he goes home, you are doing everything for him. I don't want corporate anointing. I want the anointing of the Spirit. And Acts 13 turned there with me. People said they were prophets and teachers. And then God, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The word minister to the Lord means to wait. Some versions will put to sing, and it's horrible. It's a position of waiting. A position of surrender. I don't know whether you read that place. There were people who were willing to receive. Ministering to the Lord means to be in the position to receive from God. What does verse 2 tell you? Acts 13. Acts 13. What happened? The anointing of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit said. You won't have heard that in the life of Paul until then. It was Acts 9, Acts 10, Acts 11, Acts 12, until Acts 13. That contact he had with destiny was not brought back to him. And the Holy Spirit said, separate unto me, woo! For the work where so I have called them, and then they laid hands on them, and then they sent them away. Now you will see verse 4 says, being sent forth by who? The Holy Spirit. Now, these were people who were doing ministry. Now, being sent forth by who? The Holy Spirit. Moses waited. Zerubbabel was told. Jesus waited. The apostles waited. A born again man here, Saul of Tarsus, he waited. Your knowledge of scriptures is not ministry. I'll show you another person, David. Can you remember David when he was anointed of the Spirit? And the Holy Spirit came on him. This was a man foreordained of God to be chosen as a king. And the Holy Spirit came on him. And straight away, he went to the king to tell him he will take on Goliath. And Goliath was someone that was so mean that everybody was running from him. And the king said, what experience do you have? And then David said, look, I have taken the lion and I have taken the bear. But taking the lion and taking the bear is not ministry. No. That's not ministry. Taking the lion, taking the bear is not ministry. The Holy Spirit is the ability in ministry. The Holy Spirit is the ministry that we bear. The Holy Spirit is the how of ministry. Apollos was a man also lettered in the scriptures, Acts 18, who was given to preaching only the baptism of John. And the Bible tells us that he was eloquent. And some folks brought him together. And I believe one of the things they did to him was to, not that they just put him aside. But moving what he was as he was preaching, they just called him and said, Apollos, come here. 0000. And in 30 minutes, you began to teach properly. No. They took him aside and expounded to him much more the way of the Lord. I believe what happened to Apollos was that, listen carefully, he began to contact things of that pertain to the Spirit through the ministry of Priscilla and Aquila. Because much later you read 1 Corinthians where Apollos was now called an apostle of God. He was not called an apostle of God because of what he was doing in the synagogue. He was called an apostle of God because of the anointing of the Spirit of God. Ministry is not strategy. What did I say? Ministry is not effort. What did I say? Not by might. Is not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. When Peter began to speak, he said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, Acts 2. In the last day, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Then, your sons and daughters will prophesy. Something comes before it. Is not watching something on television and want to reproduce it. Is not reading a book and wanting to reproduce what is there. I've seen people, they want to pattern. I told somebody, I said, listen to me very well. You want to pattern their ministry? Pattern what they will do after me. So let me do it like this. I said, Wako Sariku. That's what's going to happen to you. You just run and die. I'm a long distance runner. I'm a long distance from them. Many times when we years back, when we just go and say, Pastor, this one, we are taking the gospel to the nations, we are doing it to the nations. Then there was no nation then, we were just in the street, to the nations of the earth, and all that. And they didn't know that the issue was not your desire, it was the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't desire. But I tried my best, but I prayed, but I want to tell you, if you are here and you have been struggling, let the Holy Ghost take over. Let Him take over. Let Him take over your life. Do not do things by strategies. Don't do things by effort anymore. Ministry is not effort. You will put effort. Yes. You will put effort. Yes, wisdom will come to you. But it's going to be by the reason of the anointing of the Spirit of God. How many touch services do we want to keep having without the Holy Spirit? How many programs do we want to keep organizing without the Holy Spirit? How many conventions are we going to continue without the Holy Spirit? How many books do we want to keep writing without the Holy Spirit? How many tapes do we want to distribute without the Holy Spirit? Let the Holy Ghost take over. David walked into the house of Saul, the king, believing he was going to take on Goliath. Pray for me, brother, suffering. And Goliath, like I said earlier, was mean. And Saul was an experienced old prophet, who also was anointed of the Spirit. And you see, many times, and I've had the cause to say this to senior ministers of the gospel. I remember one day I was in the university and a man came to preach. So as he was teaching, we enjoyed, usually on campus these days, didn't used to happen in those days. Before he began to preach, they had done dance drama, they had done so many, this was a respected man of God. They had done dance drama, they had done all sorts of things. And they called the meeting, they gave the meeting a theme, implying that we're going to hear God's word. Now, as the man came up, they actually told him he couldn't speak more than 45 minutes. So he was speaking and now said, you know, you are campus people and you are, you know, youthful people, you want to burn energy. And I said, no! Not me. I refuse to join such an Ichabod generation. Listen to me, this is the most fertile period of my life. Of your life. This is the time. You're not going to waste the time. Don't let anyone tell you your youth is for energy. Your youth is for direction. And now, about the cost to tell. I remember one of my friends, you know, he came, he was telling me, he said, I want to tell you, I don't know, but this is a fellow who is no longer in the ministry as he used to be. He said, you know, Shago, yes, this thing. All these people just praying and staying under the word for hours. He said, not everybody can look at this thing. He said, not everybody can receive such. He said, not everybody, you know, they are different from us. You know, we know how we were. He was saying that, and another friend just answered him. He said, were you not at the same level? Were you not the one that made us pray? From one evening to the next evening? Was it not you and not she that took on a fast of 180 days, praying every day, 3 to 4 hours? Have you forgotten? Were you not in SS2? Then you are backsliding, brother. I said, thank you. I don't think the prayer in Acts 13 was thank you, Father. I don't think the prayer in Acts 13 was singing 30 minutes, praying 5 minutes, singing another 30 minutes. David went before Saul, and Saul was now the ex-anointed. Because he had moved from the power of the Holy Spirit to wisdom, to power and might. You know what happened? He now said, son, are you sure you can take on Goliath? Are you sure you can reach Russia? Are you sure you can take on Afghanistan? I know God has told me in my private closet when I was younger, but are you sure? Are you sure you can go to a Muslim country? Boy said, I can. Then he said to him, all right, let me give you my study materials. Let me give you 6 keys. Let me give you 10 ways. Let me give you how to use the media. Let me, the young boy, put it on. Yes, sir. I cannot go in this. I am not used to it. I don't know how many people are ready to say I'm not used to it. I'm used to the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't take me from gold to brass. Don't take me from the Spirit of God to power and might. I am not used to it. I'm used to prayer. I'm used to prayer. I'm used to the preaching of the anointed word. I'm used to labor. I'm not used to it. Listen carefully. And he went and took him. The anointing attracts persecution. Immediately he came after him. We'll look at that later. The ministry is strictly the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Know why some of you pray and struggle? Because you are trying to impress yourself and impress others. In this conference, you are going to pray by the Holy Ghost. Prayer will turn to another level for you. Because you will get to a point that you say, let the Holy Spirit take. Jesus never meant prayer to be effort. He meant prayer to be by the Holy Spirit. Why do we speak in tongues? Because we are anointed. Why do we speak in tongues? Why do we pray in the Spirit? Because it's the Holy Spirit ability within us causing us to pray. Romans 8:26 says it takes all together with us. But most of the time we are trying to get the Holy Ghost. Most of the time we are trying to impress the Holy Ghost. Most of the time we are trying to impress God. God, see, I'm doing 6 hours. I'm doing 7 hours. No! Let the Holy Spirit take me. Get to the end of power and might. And let the anointing that causes to pray stir up on the inside. Because you have an helper. Imagine the same Peter who dozed for 1 hour couldn't sleep. The same Peter who for 30 minutes was already dozing and he was already drawing liquid from his mouth. Same James and John. Were the same that now prayed and the whole place was shaking together because the Holy Ghost had taken over. Jesus said, wait, don't go yet. Don't go yet. Let the Holy Ghost. I want an anointed ministry. I told you, mediocrity is to settle for the ordinary because of your unwillingness to press for the extraordinary. Ministry is by the Holy Spirit. Pray for you in this conference. To discover the anointing of the Spirit. To come under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's time to stop effort. It's time to stop strategy. Let the Holy Ghost take over. Let Him take over your prayer life and see what it will turn into. Let Him take over your evangelism. It is God, it's not yours. It is work, it's not yours. It is, it's not yours. The bush will burn, church, and it will not be consumed. You will do this for 50, 60, 70 years. You will not do this and stop next year. This will not be the end. Let the Holy Ghost take over. Let him take over.